All right, so Marge was talking about how she had done some homework with Sally, and that in it you had a little bit of a brain freeze with the scripting or what you were saying to her. And so you also, you've had years of T-Touch, so you're used to understanding the emotional life of, you know, how the emotion is held in the body. And then also you have years and years in...
human resources, yeah.
So you understand people. What aspect of that do you think made you freeze?
It was gathering my thoughts. I think I did take a little take time before, but after I was looking at all of my notes, and you know, from what I remember and what I remembered, but then I almost like just didn't know what to do with my notes, like where to focus in on, where to start. And I froze initially right at the karate chop because it was focused on the dog completely, not on the person. And it felt kind of weird to do the setup statement related to the person. I think I got a little confused with that, and then my mind wasn't clear. You know, I think if I had been more centered, like deep breaths and centered, I would have been better off. But my mind was racing a little bit, so I said like, you know, freeze. But it was actually maybe racing too.
Okay. So what in the future do you think would help you ground? So that's the first step, is that you know now that when you're doing this, you need to be really grounded.
Yes. Yes. I think, well, for me, more preparation ahead of time, as much as I could. I think, you know, the more I'm used to doing it, that will also help as well, just like with T-Touch. But I did settle before the session, but... the day was a little crazy for me, and I felt like going into it, I was nervous at this stage of my life. I have no idea why, you know, but I
well, it's something new.
I'm
I mean,
sure,
you know,
yes, yeah.
We're all used to being good at what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, I first got my first book deal in 06 with Hay House. I remember walking around going, hey, I'm in book school and this is hard. You know?
Right.
I hadn't done anything new, and so I'd been talking to animals and doing energy healing and even EFT for so many years. It just, I was good at what I did. And stepping on something new was really uncomfortable. And even although I'd written for years, like there was no book school.
Right.
There was no book school. And that was really, really hard. And it was didn't always go well with the publisher. And so it's like I'm in a completely different boat now with Sounds True with my new book coming out. But because I went through book school. But I had to, like, you know, how many rewrites did it take to get there with the Hay House book? And let me tell you, twice as many with the Sounds True book. But it's really good and it's worth it, and I just rolled up my sleeves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the only new thing I've really kind of done in the last probably 10 years is you know, that. And so now it's not new for me, but I've also, you know, have had one book come out and I've joked that with this book, the contract I got it 5 years ago, it's been 4 drafts, 3 editors, 2 boyfriends, and now the book will be out. But, you know, that's an element of school that was not a small task.
No, that's true. You know, I think about it. It's like I'm also a Feldenkrais practitioner, which God knows why I was in the 4-year program while I was doing HR. You know, I was like a fish out of water and felt like I knew nothing. But then later on, I don't practice it right now, but it's the basis of T-Touch, so it all works beautifully.
Yeah,
but
no,
I was really nervous with T-Touch, too, you know,
yeah.
Because it was new. But now there's so much that flows, and it's, you know, it's like there's an ease with it that's
yeah.
the connection. There's definitely a connection. And
so it's just a matter of getting... So first of all, I would look at what if you were to take someone right now and align them through Feldenkrais, or you were going to look at a dog and give them a little bit of T-Touch to stop some
right.
aggression. What are the steps you take as a practitioner to ground yourself?
Well, prior to the session, I usually do spend time, like whether it's meditation or just quiet time, you know,
okay.
and focus inward. And then I always, you know, express that I want the, you know, best to come for the people and the animals and everyone involved, that it's for everyone's higher good. And I remember to breathe. Breathing is very, sometimes could be a challenge for me, I forget. So remembering to breathe. And the other part is visualizing. I may not know, because you kind of go with the flow of how the session evolves with what you see and what they need, but I really like to visualize ahead of time, just everything flowing, going well, good communication, you know, just an ending well at the end of the session. So, and I didn't visualize this last time, and that
yeah.
does help me.
So maybe all the steps you do
mm-hmm.
with the
right with my
other
teeth.
Things that
yeah.
you do, yeah,
right.
That maybe that's got to be built into your next practice round.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
I mean, like for me, I feel really funny if I haven't exercised and meditated in the morning, right? Like those are two things that I know. It's not going to be the same experience for a. So I feel like for me, going on a dog hike or jumping rope and doing some yoga and meditating is part of my job. And
right.
it's built into the day so that no matter what, I'm grounded and available and ready to go for no matter what the situation is. And so, you know, I'm a big believer in the rituals. Whatever it takes for you to be grounded is what, in other things, is what you'd want to bring to this.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's really great to hear. Did anyone else get to do their homework? Karen, did you get to do homework?
Jonas, Karen.
Hi.
I did. You guys matched me with Kara.
Oh, fun.
Who's very skilled. I felt a bit like a second grader talking to a grad student, but it was fun.
I'm saying it was fun also because you guys have to understand that she has gone through my whole program. She's in my teacher training program, and she has a definite interest in teaching EFT. So like right now, like today, one of my mentor calls with my students is with her to help her create her first EFT class down in Laguna Hills. So, you know, so you kind of got lucky.
Yeah, right? It was great. And then I have a new foster dog who's extremely fearful. So we had a wonderful subject to work on. But I had the same issues the woman who was just talking had. And what I realized is that moment where you have all the interview stuff jotted down or however much you can hold in your memory plus whatever you jotted down, taking all that and figuring out what to try to fit in, what to leave out, and I don't think it's possible unless I'm missing something to actually have a whole script planned out. I mean, the high points, yes, beginning, middle, end, maybe a few key ideas, but it feels like a lot of it just has to flow intuitively. So
I would agree 150%. There are people that make scripts, and like the last time I taught this class, there was a gal who she is from Brazil originally but lives in the States, and she found that because of her English, she would set up her homework in two sessions. So she would go and get the information and then write something out and then come back to it, only because she was afraid her English would fail her.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think she added stuff in intuitively. I mean, I certainly couldn't sit and make a script, because you can't even imagine what sometimes just comes in, and you don't even know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. When you get in what the flow, like Marge talks about with the T-touch. So go ahead.
But also the scripts would seem to be very lengthy.
Yeah.
So unless you're spending a lot of time writing before you do anything, you're really not getting any place. But I wanted to go back to the other question the previous caller raised. Can you clarify with the setup statement? I'm getting confused on both the, who actually is the subject? Who is the one who's loving and accepting themselves and all their feelings when we're tapping on ourselves for our animal, because we can't actually tap on our animal? How
I do tap on the animal.
Yes, and I understand that.
So I do there's one of three things you could do. You could do the setup statement for just the animal and pretend you're the voice on behalf of the animal. You could do the setup statement for the animal and the person, because they're in it together. Or you could do the setup statement for all of you, if you feel like there's something in this that you're going to get a healing from also. So let's say, for example, I'm just going to use this as an example. Let's say I have a horse that can't stand it when the other horses go away, like on a trail ride. He's super herd bound. And let's say I had just been broken up with someone. I could do a setup statement of, even though we hate to be alone, we love and accept ourselves. Even though we can't stand being left alone, I'm just making this up, right? But that's a perfect example of where, even though I'm going to tap on my horse's behalf because he's really herd-bound, I'm going to get a benefit from it because we're dealing with a lonely aspect.
Yep.
Right? So that's the third option there of tapping for all. So let's say you went to someone's house and you saw that they're... here's a good example. Maybe you go to someone's house and they have lost one of the two dogs, and the dog and the person is in a great deal of grief. And maybe you know you have some lingering grief. You could use the setup statement for all three of you. But in that case, for sure, you would use the setup statement for both of them. Does that make sense?
It does. Can you give me an example of a setup statement? If I'm tapping on myself for my dog because she isn't allowing me anywhere near her, and if the beginning of the setup statement was, even though I'm really afraid of all these people, would I say, I love and accept myself?
Yeah,
as in, that would be
speaking.
The... Okay,
I have an idea. Did anyone else come on to the call? I know that we've got Marge, we've got Karen, we've got Paula, we've got Caroline, we've got Carolyn, we've got Wendy, correct? Did anyone else jump on? Okay, I had thought, and I had a miscommunication with her. There's two Sharons, the one Sharon we did a call with, and the other Sharon I thought was going to come on today, and we were going to tap on her dog, but she's not, I think she misunderstood something, so we'll do hers next Tuesday. Do you want to go ahead and, or next Thursday, do you want to go ahead and do your dog?
Are you asking me, Joan?
Yes.
We could, although you used my other dog last week, Katie, the one who wouldn't walk on the floors.
Right.
And then Kara just tapped with Charlotte again this morning. So
okay.
I'm feeling
all
like
right.
I've
no,
used a lot of your resources.
But
maybe somebody
right.
else should get a chance.
Okay. But So let me ask you this. Do you, all right, if I were going to tap on a dog that couldn't be touched and I were going to tap on the fact that she is terrified of things, and Kara may have done it differently, I'm very fine with speaking as if I'm that voice. Even though I'm terrified of everything around me and I can't stand any people I love and accept myself, even though I just don't even feel like being around people and I don't know why they're pushing themselves upon me, I love and accept myself. Even though all these people seem to need to touch me and I think they're all a bunch of weirdos, I honor the choices I'm making.
Okay.
Boom. Go into the tapping.
Joan?
Yes.
This is Paula. If you want someone to tap on that has those issues, Misty, my cat, does not like to be touched, and she is afraid of many things. No, all noise.
Okay. I've tapped a lot with you, so I think, like Karen was saying, if there is someone else that has a behavioral issue, I want to just be open to the idea because I know that we have tapped with your cats before, and I just want to...
I was just saying it because she has those issues, Misty. So.
Yeah, well, I am looking for a behavioral between...
Okay.
Joan?
Yes.
Joan, hi. This is Carolyn in Santa Barbara. I just didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to jump in because I might have what you're looking for. I'm working with a cat right now that continues to pee outside his potty box.
Is this an animal that's in your home?
No, it's not in my home.
Okay. Except, you know, I'm a fan of things that are verifiable and in the home and can
okay.
be, yeah. And so stay on hold there, Paulo. Let me ask you this, Karen, how did it go with Katie?
Oh, I was just going to interrupt and ask if you wanted to know.
Yes.
Lovely changes, lovely, lovely changes this week. She is walking up to the kitchen table to sit right next to me at breakfast. She walked around to the other side of the kitchen table to put her head on my husband's lap. She is freely leaving the kitchen and walking into my office, following me. She's also walking out of the kitchen to stand at the base of the stairs when I go upstairs. And besides me petting her when she does those things, you know, and telling her I love her and I'm proud of her, I actually haven't done anything to attempt to elicit the change. I just sat back and watched what happened. And it's actually been dramatic.
That's awesome.
I mean, most people coming into the home would look at what she does and still think she's quite neurotic and, gosh, why does your poodle behave like that? But for me, watching how rigid she was and what she's decided to do just after that, you know, the tapping you did and then I did try to duplicate the same thing twice more is quite impressive. And the other thing I wanted to say was you asked me if you said her behavior sounded rather OCD-like, and you asked if we had that history in our family or if I was like that or whatever. And I said no, and I still believe that about myself. But my husband pointed out that two of my children do rather repetitive organizational things where they just informally talk about all those sort of OCD-like traits that they've picked up from my husband. And my husband, who is in the kitchen with this dog a lot, is very rigid in his routines. Not what I would say is an OCD-like way at all, but just, you know, he has his routine. He gets up, he does this, he does this, he does this, and he really doesn't like it when people change, ask him to change what he's doing. So I guess I take back how I answered you. So I just wanted to tell you that your intuitive sense was actually probably correct, although I wouldn't use that clinical label because I don't think it's anywhere near that degree.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think I have elements of OCD. Right now my office is a mess, but I do certain things that are like, my ex-husband was a therapist, and I would tell him little quirky things that I do that nobody sees, and he'd be like, oh yeah, you're borderline.
Yeah.
You know, so I it just takes one to know one. I mean, I just recognize that behavior because I have some little quirks myself, and I've got a Scorpio border collie, you know. We've got a lot of it going on here. So, and then I don't, I'm using it in a loose term, but it is still, you know, I mean, I think it sounds like you're, that dog has made some great progress, and that there's, you know, if anyone says, wow, why is your poodle being funny? You can say, well, Katie's just quirky.
I have actually been thinking that very thought. I'm just delighted with the improved opportunity that I have to have one-on-one time with her, because all my other dogs are in that same room that she's sort of trapped herself in. So I wasn't getting one-on-one time with her at all. And now that she follows me in a few different places, we actually get that time. So it's actually been very beautiful this week.
That's awesome. That's really great. I'm really glad to hear that. All right. Well, you know what, Paula? I think we could go ahead and tap on Misty. And then,
okay.
But before I go into my little questioning you and stuff, does anyone else have any questions, comments, observations about their homework that they did?
I didn't get a homework partner, so I didn't know there was one. So
I'll find out what happened with that.
If an email was sent, I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anybody else get homework done or have any questions, comments, observations about homework?
Joan, this is Carolyn in Santa Barbara. I didn't get an email either about a homework partner, so I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
That was like 2 weeks ago. That's very bizarre. So I will make a note.
Okay. I've just been practicing on my own, but I just didn't want anybody out there to think that I had not contacted them if they...
They would have contacted you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, that is really weird. I will check on that.
Maybe we were supposed to be partners.
Yeah, I'm just thinking maybe that wouldn't be the worst idea. Maybe you guys could be partners, and then that way, before I send out the second round of homework, at least you guys are caught up, because I won't send the second round until Monday. So at the end of the call, you guys can give each other your email information.
And what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Carolyn.
Oh, my name's Carolyn Page, P-A-I-G-E.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you.
Okay,
yeah. Sure. Okay. So let's talk about Misty. So, Paula, how old is Misty?
She's 13.
And how long have you had her?
Since she was about 6 months old.
How long?
About 12 and a half years, since she was about 6 months old.
Okay. And was she always like that?
Yes, extremely so. She's better now because I've worked a lot with her, but she was afraid of her own shadow. Noises, everything. Even from the television, if there was a noise.
Was her mother feral?
She was. I got her at a shelter, so I don't know anything about her background.
And where did you live when you got her?
I lived here in South Florida.
Okay.
And she also couldn't be touched. She almost was tactically defensive.
Did she, when you first got her, had she just had a rabies vaccine?
You know, I don't. No, but I do know she had just been spayed. And I assume she had a vaccine because they probably wouldn't foster her, give her out if not, but I don't know for certain.
Okay. And was there another cat in the household at that time?
Yes, we had another cat, Breezy, who was just probably 6 months older than her.
And did you, now see, I just want to point out one thing, and this is going back to what Marge was saying, even about the script, and Karen, I will say that I feel as though one of my advantages with the animal part of it is that if I'm, you know, I'm not going to do it now because I want you guys to see what it's like without the animal communication, but, you know, normally I would have done, if I had done a session with Misty at this point, I would be able to almost so to get things from her own words, so to speak. So afraid of her own shadow, didn't want to be touched, all those sorts of things I will be phrasing as her. But part of that is when I've done a communication session, I'm able to kind of get more of that sense. And another, the reason I'm bringing this up now is then I also would have known if she was really close with Breezy, if she learned everything from Breezy, if she looked to Breezy to be kind of the leader between the two of them. Did she look up to Breezy?
They had a funny relationship. They didn't become super close, but Breezy did teach her a lot of things, taught her to bathe, and they would sleep with each other a lot. So it was so yes, Breezy did help her a lot. She did, I would say, look up to her in certain ways, yes.
And many times when you have this more fearful animal, they are a number two or a number three in a household, and so the number one is the one that has taught them so much. And so for people that are looking at an animal that is fearful, if there is an animal in the household that is teaching them, then you're at the end of your script. You want to encourage the teaching or encourage them to continue to look to their friend for help, but to also feel good in their own skin, so to speak.
Now, Breezy isn't with us anymore.
No, I know that. I know. How long ago did Breezy die?
Probably about 5 years ago.
And was that before or after you had gotten your...
Actually, no, I'm sorry. It was about 3.5 years ago. It was just 3 months after we got Maggie.
Okay. So Paula has inherited her... after her parents crossed over, she ended up with Maggie, her mother's cat, that's had all kinds of health challenges. So... in many ways, you could say Misty has remained a number two just for what has gone on with Maggie. But she doesn't necessarily look up to Maggie, does she?
No.
So when you say she's better, how is she better now?
She can tolerate touch better. I've worked with her almost on a daily basis, and so she can be almost stroked all the way down her body. She's not nearly as fearful of noises, but still very much so of any loud noise or thunder or ones that are kind of startling. But not every single little doorbell and knock, which she used to be. You know, you drop something and she'd run under the bed. So she has gotten much better. But it seems to still come out at different times. We have hurricane windows now, so she's not hearing every single sound from outside.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it too.
There's two things that I think of, like, with this extreme fearfulness. There's kind of three things. One, something could have happened. Two, she could have been over-vaccinated with the rabies vaccine. A lot of times this fearfulness is a vaccinosis challenge. And three, she could have had a feral mother, which would mean that it's just kind of almost in her bloodstream to be on guard, because even in the womb she would have been, you know, all her nutrients would have been fed with a certain element of being on guard. It's sort of like when you think about Mustang horses, that, you know, the first generation of a Mustang horse being bred into a domestic world is you're dealing with a certain startle factor. I think that sometimes that first generation of feral, even though that feral cat may have been a domestic, you know, generations back, there was domestication. You're just dealing with a lot of fear from the womb. So how does she do after a vaccine?
I haven't really kept up with her vaccination.
Well, that's probably the good news.
Yeah. She acted fairly good after, but I haven't had her vaccinated in quite a number of years. So.
Okay. And then when people walk in the house, what do you say about Misty? It's sort of like what we were talking about, Karen might talk about her dog Katie. Like, what do you say when someone walks in and they see a cat shoot across the room? What do you say?
I usually first say to Misty, come on, sweetie, you can come back. It's okay. And then I'll say, that's Misty, our gray kitty. I've tried very hard not to say she's the spook of the house and all that. I've learned not to do that.
Okay, but in the old days, what did you say?
Probably something like that, that she's shy and scared of everybody. In the beginning, I would, but.
And how frustrated have you been?
I'm not frustrated, per se. I just, I felt bad for her.
Okay.
Being afraid of everything and tried very hard to, you know, bring her back to the situation and calm her down, and so now when she does get scared, a lot of times she'll come over to me or my husband to kind of get to feel safer.
That's good.
Yeah, so she has improved.
And has your husband ever been frustrated?
No, I don't think so. Although he didn't really. I hate to say this, but he didn't really like her in the beginning. It's not that he disliked her, but I guess it wasn't his type of cat. So I was the one that pretty much did everything with her and worked with her a lot and all. And that, of course, now he loves her dearly, but she had to grow on him.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, one thing that we don't always talk about, it's really an awkward thing to talk about, but that could have hurt your husband's feelings. If he's used to animals adoring him.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, he is. Especially dogs. They all love him.
Yeah. So here we've got this cat that doesn't like me. That would be painful.
Mm-hmm. Never thought of that.
Guys aren't going to admit it, but.
Right.
Most of the time, that's what the husband, you know, so eventually the husband always comes around, but it's after he finally gets over his big feelings.
And she gets better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But that, you know, I mean, that's perfectly acceptable.
They got closer when I was gone all the time, when my folks were not well, and I was in Pennsylvania taking care of them. she went to him more and he got much closer. I noticed when they got back, and I think that's a lot also when the change happened. So, because he was the only game in town, and
she had to like him.
He had to. Yeah, that's right. She did.
No, that, I mean, I think from the sounds from your other cat and just the stuff you've said, it sounds like you've got a real animal-loving husband, and that's the great news. It's just I just have seen so many times the husband, and sometimes even the wife, won't admit to being super, just their feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
If they're used to, you know, cats sleeping on their feet and dogs running up to them, then that's hard.
Yeah, particularly that Breezy was really his buddy, too.
Yeah.
So
in many ways, Misty was kind of odd man out at times?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
He was.
And is there anything else you think that...
Not that I can think of. Pretty much it.
And did you stop feeling sorry for her?
Yes. Yes.
Did that help?
It probably did. It probably did. I'm trying to think when that shift in me happened with also her getting less fearful, but yes, I'm sure that did.
All right. Well, I think we're good. So now, let me ask you this. Is she with you right now?
She's in a box in the room, yes.
If you were to tap along her spine, how do you think she would be?
She'd probably be okay. She doesn't like to get picked up and held or anything like that, but I can get down by her. Now she's starting to run away. Come here, sweetie pie. Come here, sweetheart. All right, let's just sit here. All righty. I'm going to try to keep her here.
Can you tap on her face? Or would that be too much?
No, I can do that.
Okay.
I don't know how long I can keep her here, but yes, I can do that.
All right. And then I know that a lot of people surrogate tap on themselves, but I think that for this, if she gets up and shoots out of the room, don't tell me. We're just going to keep going.
Okay.
And what I would like you to do is pretend that you're still tapping on her. So just tap into the air. On her.
Oh, okay, not on myself, but into the air. Okay.
Just because we will start on her, and I like to, I just want to keep the energy just completely focused on her.
Okay, will do.
Okay. All right. So, again, I can't remember who asked me about the setup statement. I think it was Karen. I'm going to do the setup statement as if I am Misty. And then, sorry about that, we'll go from there. Okay, so starting with the karate chop point, even though I am terrified of everything.
Even though I am terrified of everything.
I'm afraid of my own shadow.
I'm afraid of my own shadow.
I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though there were lots of openings for me to get more involved.
Even though there were lots of openings for me to get more involved.
I just couldn't.
I just couldn't.
I was in my own little world.
I was in my own little world.
And sometimes a big world would interrupt it.
And sometimes a big world would interrupt it.
And scare the crap out of me.
And scare the crap out of me.
And I had to run.
And I had to run.
And I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though my fears have created a big problem for the people.
Even though my fears have created a big problem for the people.
They felt really sorry for me.
They felt really sorry for me.
And they almost didn't like me.
and they almost didn't like me.
And I was always the odd man out. I love and accept myself. Okay, so tapping through the points inside of the eye, I am odd man out. Outside of the eye.
It's like it's just too much.
Under the eye, it's way too much. On the nose, I can't do it. Under the chin, it's just too much to be involved all the time. On the chest, I am so sensitive. Top of the head. And they've got a lot of people stuff going on. Inside of the eye. Sometimes that's too much for me. Outside of the eye. And then all the noises. Under the eye. And then they want to touch me. Under the nose. It's just too much. Under the chin. Why can't I just eat and sleep and poop? Inside of the chest. I just want to be left alone. Top of the head. I don't mind being in the room with them, but I don't want any demands. Inside of the eye. It's just too hard. Outside of the eye. Under the eye. It was so much easier with Breezy. On top of the nose, because she just did everything they wanted. Under the chin. There was really no place for me. Inside of the chest, because she was such a big personality. Top of the head. She was a performer. Inside of the eye, and they loved her. Outside of the eye. I really did learn how to be a house cat with her. Under the eye, because at the shelter, I was just terrified. On top of the nose, it was just too much. Under the chin, I was traumatized. Inside of the chest, I was traumatized. Top of the head, Inside of the eye, just way too much. Outside of the eye, Under the eye, On top of the nose, and the stimulation was way too much. Under the chin, way too much. Inside of the chest, and I really just looked to Breezy to take it all on. Top of the head, I never really counted on the people in the house at first. Inside of the eye, but Paula kept trying. Outside of the eye, so I gave in a little bit. Under the eye, and a little bit more. On top of the nose, and a little bit more. Under the chin, a little bit more. Inside the chest, I let go of some of my fears. Top of the head, I allow myself to be in the house. Inside of the eye, not as fearful. Outside of the eye, not as fearful of noises. Under the eye, you can almost touch me for a few minutes. Top of the nose, I'm really more able. Under the chin, to stick around. Inside of the chest, and be present. Top of the head, and not be the odd man out. Inside of the eye. They spending a lot of attention on Maggie.
They spend a lot of attention on Maggie.
Outside of the eye. So I can be this weirdo.
So I can be this weirdo.
Under the eye. I can be the odd man out.
I can be the odd man out.
Top of the nose. When I feel like it.
When I feel like it.
Under the chin. And they don't really expect me.
And they don't really expect me.
Inside of the chest. To be that cat that crawls across them.
To be that cat that crawls across them.
Top of the head. So it always feels like a special moment if I do something like that.
So it always feels like a special moment if I do something like that.
Inside of the eye. But because I'm a cat.
But because I'm a cat.
Outside of the eye. I only do it when I feel like it.
I only do it when I feel like it.
Under the eye. I kind of enjoy my bizarre life.
I kind of enjoy my bizarre life.
Top of the nose. In a funny way, I have control.
In a funny way, I have control.
Under the chin, and I let them work hard.
And I let them work hard.
Inside of the chest. I am willing to let some of this go.
I am willing to let some of this go.
Top of the head, because I really do enjoy when I can look to them.
Because I really do enjoy when I can love to them.
Inside of the eye, I know that something special happens.
I know that something special happens.
Outside of the eye, when I go to them when I'm scared.
When I go to them when I'm scared.
Under the eye, I like that feeling.
I like that feeling.
Top of the nose, I like the feeling being wanted.
I like the feeling of being wanted.
Under the chin. There are other times that they want my affection.
There are other times that they want my affection.
Inside of the chest. If I'm really honest with myself.
If I'm really honest with myself.
Top of the head. That feels really good.
That feels really good.
Inside of the eye. It feels really good to be wanted.
It feels really good to be wanted.
Outside of the eye. And it even feels good to seek them out.
And it really feels good to seek them out.
Under the eye. I am going to really bathe in that feeling.
I am going to really bathe in that feeling.
On top of the nose. I am going to enjoy that.
I am going to enjoy that.
Under the chin, I am going to bask in a bubble with Paula.
I am going to bask in a bubble with Paula.
Inside of the chest, I am going to enjoy that feeling.
I'm going to enjoy that feeling.
Top of the head, and I am going to let it expand.
And I'm going to let it expand.
Okay, now take a deep breath. Where is she now? At what point did she run out?
She is sitting on the, I'm on a couch, and she's sitting on the arm of the couch.
Oh,
she
wiggled, pretty good.
Yeah, it was very good. She wiggled a bit, and I just kept supporting her and holding her a bit, and she calmed down. She probably left maybe 2 rounds ago. She finally wiggled enough that I just moved my hand, and she sat on maybe an arm's length away. And she's actually licking herself now.
Did you feel yourself going, when we started to get to the end there, did you feel yourself going into kind of a bubble of love with her?
I did. Yes, I did.
Do you think that you can create that a couple of times a day?
I sure will give it a go. Absolutely.
Because I think she likes that feeling too. I know she does.
Yes, I agree. I know she does also.
And, you know, I just want to, as a side note, point out to people that I'm going to go work with a horse tomorrow that I've worked with a few times, and he does a lot of spooking, and I've done a lot of tapping with him, and he's a big horse. Excuse me. I can't believe my throat is really funny today. And one of the things that I've had the horse and the rider do, and I've done this with my own horse who gets scared, is that when I'm on my horse, and I have a lot of horse people do this, I imagine, like, oops, I just put a bubble around us, and we are safe. and we are in the bubble, and I've got the bubble. I've got control of the bubble. We are good. It doesn't matter what lurches out of the woods. We're in a bubble. We're fine. So it changes my ride, and I actually, tomorrow I'm going to try, and I don't know if I'll be able to do it tomorrow, but one of these days I'm going to try and get a video of my friend riding his horse with and without the bubble, because I swear to God, when I watch a video of him now, I can see when he's got the bubble up and when he doesn't. So I'm going to kind of try to make a dramatic video of when the bubble is and when the bubble is not, because it's like after the tapping and then creating a bubble of safety for these fearful animals is a really powerful, powerful thing to do. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's interesting because normally she would have bolted, but she has just sat on the arm, then she went up to the back and sat. She walked across to the other side and sat, and now she's in the windowsill, but all around, all within a close proximity to me.
And the thing with fearful animals is they don't always want to be fearful. They just don't know how else to be.
Right.
And so when we're giving them other options, then those things feel good, especially with regard to another person or another animal that they can look to. And if she's not necessarily someone that's looking to Maggie in the same way that she looked to Breezy, then you and your husband are it for her.
Right.
So putting yourself in that kind of that state of love, a bubble, whatever it is letting her experience a different feeling other than the nervous system that's normally running her day.
Mm-hmm. And I think also when we got Maggie, I think she was already having hyperactive thyroid problems because a lot of the aggression came out that I thought was just against her, but it really wasn't. It was part of the illness. Because
yeah.
Once she got better, she isn't as much, but Misty doesn't trust her. And
yeah.
Rightly so.
And that might be something that, you know, Carolyn, maybe that's the next step, is that, and I don't want to forecast what you guys are going to tap on, but that would be kind of a good thing, Carolyn, for you to when you guys do your homework, that maybe that next step is the Misty-Maggie relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that could be a really, you know, if we want to see a full transformation with this cat, we worked on just the feeling with the humans, and now we can, you know, the next step would be really working with the relationship with Maggie, because that could be really great to shift that, too, while we're at it, while we're just changing your household.
Yes, wonderful. I learned a lot from your script, and that's still what I really need to have work on a lot. That's where my one of my weaknesses is. Some of the things you mentioned about just Breezy's relationship, her relationship, things that I know but I didn't really think about. So, and how it would have affected her. So, very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments, observations?
Joan, this is Caroline.
Yes.
So while you were doing that, I had a kind of a thought about just fearful cats or even fearful dogs. It, like, in a sense, for me, it's almost like having a wild animal where you have to draw your energy in so they don't become frightened by you just moving in on them.
Yeah. Think about, like, if everybody wanted, you know, if every attempt to get Misty is coming at her and then it doesn't work, and she runs off another direction, and then Breezy comes in and is the it girl, mm-hmm. It would be really hard to come into the people zone and understand, you know, and be, you know, it would take a certain amount of confidence and understanding that isn't there if your nervous system is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, any people coming at her would be coming at her with seemingly 10 times the force that, you know, you just walking through the room would seem like. If you were walking through the room in a normal state, like, oh, I've got to go put my wash in the dryer, and I've got to remember that I've got to get to the dentist at 4, those are some kind of big thoughts falling out of you that could even be seem harsh or big versus walking through the house just breathing.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you have it's funny who knocked on my office door to come in here, but Isabella, my one-time feral dog. So, you know, she's sitting here, and usually she's who I tap on when I'm tapping on dogs, but because I knew that at some point that there was a good chance that Misty was going to get up, I didn't choose to have an animal in here with me, and I tapped into the air for Misty instead of tapping on Isabella, but Isabella demanded to come into the room. And, you know, I had to do a lot of bringing my energy field in order to deal with this. 8 years ago, this dog was, you know, it was a lot. I had a lot of bringing my energy field in just to keep this dog in the house. So that's a very good point. Yes.
Cool.
Any other questions, comments, observations? And to that point, so you could imagine then the disappointment of... wait, excuse me, let me just finish. To that point,
what
Carolyn,
is it
and
that you...
I'm sorry. I can't.
Is it ideal for us to say about our fearful animal?
You know what? I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
People are present and we're trying to explain their behavior or get them the safe space that they need so that people aren't.
Okay. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. Hello.
Approaching.
Caroline, can you hear me?
Say.
I can hear you. Yes.
Okay.
Shy or fearful is just contributing or reinforcing that story. But
okay.
What is the alternative? What works for people that create?
Okay, I have no idea what's going on here.
I think it's Karen.
Or towards the animal.
I think so too. Okay, Karen. Karen. Hello.
Hi, Joan. It's Karen. I'm sorry. A technical problem.
Were you talking just now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was trying to finish something else, and I want to finish that, and then I'll go to your question.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It was like, hello. Okay. So to Caroline's point, Paula, also, you can imagine that if you've got this overly sensitive animal, and you've got all these feelings of attempting to come to her for, you know, oh, come on, we're nice, we like you, we want it to be fine. You can imagine also how much even then your husband's disappointment of being the guy that every animal loves, how that would feed into it as well, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, that would be an additional set of... So it's like if we even just categorized all the feelings that were coming at this overly sensitive cat, it would be a lot. A lot of stuff to sift through.
As well as fears that she would have that I don't even recognize.
Yeah.
On top of it, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so Karen, it sounded like a great question. Could you please start over?
Yes. I heard you saying that when the animal is fearful or shy, that it's not helpful to be saying that out loud as a way of explaining to other people why they're behaving the way they do. What I'm wondering is what does work to create create a safety zone around that animal so that other people aren't trying to intrude on it. Or feeding into it. Like when I have visitors over to my house and my foster dog is sitting in a particular spot and shouldn't be approached because she is too fearful to be approached, what can I say that isn't feeding into her story but is also going to create the desired effect?
What is something, so again, you know, when I teach animal communication, I always talk about the essence and the favorite things. What, if you were to talk about her essence, what is her essence?
Gentle healer, sweet soul, all round, really gentle, good dog.
Okay, so what if you were to say, oh, she's apprenticing right now as a healer, so we just have to give her space.
Okay. All right.
My dad had a cat. So we had a cat in the household when my parents were older and sick. And there was a cat that my sister had brought and her daughter. She'd gotten a cat for her daughter, and it didn't work out with her daughter. And my dad would have had 1,000 animals. It was actually my mom that, like, held it off a bit. This cat ended up with my dad. And he would say, that cat's such a scaredy cat. I just don't know what to do. Like, one minute the cat's on the bed, and the next minute somebody else walks into the room and he runs. And my dad's favorite TV show on the planet was Seinfeld. And he would always say that, you know, he kept his marriage going by only getting it down to 2 episodes a day. And so I just said, Dad, you're living with Kramer. So when we started calling the cat Kramer, it just changed everything for that cat. It was like we realized what a scaredy cat act it was, and it became hilarious, and then it got bigger, but in a more fun way. So I used that cat. I knew I could just see a sense of humor in there, and when we expanded that, it changed everything. So if you could expand the healer aspect,
mm-hmm.
you could change everything.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you might find that time to be in the bubble with the dog.
Yeah, that was a really good suggestion, actually. I'll be implementing that, too.
Yeah, because you could say, okay, we're going to go into the healer bubble now. What's this like? Not only do we love each other, but we love others, and it's safe. Because if you look at, and I could be wrong, but even with the Misty thing, it feels like part of my discovery when tapping on her and tapping into her that there was a certain part of peace that she got as she came to Paula and her husband more, and that felt good. So we'd want to, in that case, expand upon that. That's where I kind of went off on the little, love zone thing. But that's, I do it with one of my horses all the time. I put us in a bubble and it's almost like we have a quirky, awkward ride until I put us in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments, observations? This is really good, Paula.
Thank you. It was for me, too. I learned a lot, not to mention helping her, but just in things you say and what you bring into the script, if you will.
And, you guys have to remember I've been doing this a long time. My scripts weren't always this great.
Well, they're wonderful.
thinks.
And, you know, she left a little bit and never went too far into the next room, and she's back sitting on one of her stands. So it didn't upset her. It might have made her feel good.
Yeah. Well, it put you into a state, too.
Yes. And it put me in a variety of different feelings throughout the script when you were saying it.
Yeah.
Happy parts, and then I felt bad about myself doing something, you know, just up and down. So it that was interesting to me.
And what's interesting is that you went into all those feelings and it didn't push her away.
Correct.
So that shows you another thing, and that is that she's in probably better shape sometimes than you think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's the thing. What's that?
She is much, much better, and I'm sure it'll improve with this. Thank you.
Yeah. It's when I think about expectation, I always tell people that if I have a horse in front of me and I need that butt to move over, it's 1,200 pounds of mass. And through my expectation and taking one step and waving my hand in a certain way, I can move 1,200 pounds over with nothing more than an intention. And once in a while, if it's a horse that didn't understand what I was doing or is being a little bit of stubborn, I might apply 2 pounds of pressure with my one finger on its butt, and I still now have moved 1,200 pounds over, right? Very little goes into moving mass. I expect that horse to move its butt over. Unfortunately, much of what we have in our household is that same expectation, but reversed. I expect the cat's going to run. I expect the dog is going to be fearful of people. I expect the horse is going to spook at the tree. And so our expectations play a great deal into this. That's why when I changed the name of that cat from my dad to Kramer, it became a funny thing instead of him feeling, you know, like it was always the same. The cat would be fine, and then somebody would walk into the room. He would make an extreme gesture and dash out. Now, then it would create a certain feeling in my father, a certain feeling in my mother, and a certain feeling for the person in the, you know, that had walked into the room. If it had been, if we'd come up with the Kramer idea years before, we might have permanently changed that behavior. But we did change it at the end there for that cat, because we created a different expectation that he was simply being funny with that extreme gesture, and then he didn't leave the room. Now we have a new expectation. He's funny. And so he fulfilled that. And that's where, you know, a lot of this tapping helps. If even when we're tapping on behalf of the animal, we are going to gain a perspective about ourselves and our expectation and our feelings that is going to also shift the household. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys, this is a great, great class, and I'm really really excited. So Carolyn Page and Paula. Carolyn, are you in a position to write down Paula's email address?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, Paula, your email address is aqualady3, correct? Paula?
I'm muted, sorry. Yes.
Okay. What is your email? It's aqualady3@...
yahoo.com.
Okay.
And that's the number 3.
So Aqua, A-Q-U-A.
L-A-D-Y, and the number 3 at yahoo.com.
Okay, I don't know what that sound is, but if everybody could mute for a minute. Okay, so
perfect.
So Carolyn, you got the email address?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay, so if you guys can hook up for homework, that'd be great.
Sure.
If you'd email me, then that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, sure, Paula.
And then, maybe Paula can work on that kitty you were talking about at the shelter. But if you're going to work with Paula on that, I think you might want to work more than once. And I hope that you are able to bring back feedback for Paula.
Okay.
Sure. Otherwise, just whatever. You know, we're as much as we're helping the animal when we're doing homework, we're also helping our partner with feedback. So,
right.
You know, we want to set someone up for success,
yep.
Set our partner up for success. But I want to thank you guys. This is really a great class, and I'm going to, send out different homework here next week. So hopefully Paula and Carolyn will get together before the new homework, but if not, still work together and you'll get an additional partner. And keep up the great work, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank
good.
You.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.